You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus had also been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." And another reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 6. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. About halfway through, we're going to pull out our handouts, and we're going to start with this side that has the buildings on top. And we're going to be looking at some of the history of Lent. Like a good parent, the early church knew that Christians would have a hard time getting ready for Easter all by ourselves. Something parents often find ourselves doing with small children is helping them to anticipate and enter the big events of life, like birthdays, or taking the time to bury dead birds, or make the emotional journey towards the first day of school. I was faced with the same challenge nearly a decade ago when I needed to help our four kids get ready for a transatlantic move. We had raised them in Scotland, eating shepherd's pie in a village where sheep outnumbered humans 10 to 1. And now they were supposed to become Americans overnight? We could not figure out how to make the transition one which would help our children with this massive change, one which would honor the emotional and psychological distances that they would be crossing to change cultures, friends, continents. We needed some way for them to cross this distance. We could have taken a plane from Seattle, that would have been 6 hours, but we knew we needed time to cover the distance. And so instead we settled on going by boat for 7 days. And it was really interesting. When we saw the Statue of Liberty through the morning light, we really felt like pilgrims. We felt like we had crossed this journey and we'd given ourselves the time. We actually got an extra hour every night, which was really amazing. But we gave ourselves the time to cross this distance so that when we finally arrived, we were ready. It could have happened in a lot fewer hours, but we were ready. We were now Americans. And this is what Lent is doing for us. We know Easter is coming, but how do we avoid just rushing right through the mystery? Lent is like choosing to get on a boat for 40 days. When we could just get there in 7 hours by plane. Lent is a gift. It's a grace given through trial and error by past spiritual giants in the church who acted like good parents, trying to help her children get ready for the big events in their life. Now, in the early days of Christianity, getting baptized was like a death warrant. Not everyone was cut out for persecution, so they didn't automatically baptize people who were interested in Jesus. Instead, they trained baptismal candidates in a spiritual gymnasium called a catechumenate for 3 years to make sure that these people were tough enough to endure the persecution that would certainly come. Imagine waiting 3 years for your baptism and knowing it might end in your literal death. These catechumens, as they were called, meaning the ones who hear, had sponsors who would vouch for their character. These sponsors risked their lives to bring catechumens or candidates into this new church community because if they betrayed them, it would mean the death of everyone. So these sponsors or godparents would walk closely alongside the candidates for all 3 years. They would enter into their intensified fasting as they got closer and closer to baptism. And through the twists and turns of history, these sponsors, as you might have noted, evolved into what today are called our godparents. When we have godparents stand with us, stand with children at their baptism, these were the sponsors of the original candidates. Okay, so these 3 years of training were like a prolonged spiritual high. They gathered in the catacombs. There were secret passwords to get in. There was intimacy with God. There was growing knowledge of Scripture. And if you reflected a growing Christ-likeness, trust in Jesus, attentiveness to the poor, you would be considered ready for baptism. And you would fast and pray, and you would finish preparations in the intensified 40 days leading up to this day. Did you notice the number 40? Some things were so classified during this time that you weren't taught them until the final week, things such as the Lord's Prayer and the Creed. Those were only given to you orally the week before your baptism. And then finally, at long last, at midnight, just as Holy Saturday is rolling into Easter Sunday, in the light of the morning, you declared something very unusual. You did not declare your faith in Jesus. You declared your death. You declared your death and resurrection in Christ as you walked down the steps of the baptismal font into the waters. And as you came out again, resurrected. Now that you were dead, you could face death because you'd already died. In baptism, you get to die before you die. And this is what brings us to the handout. Oh, look at this side with the buildings on top. Here's some ancient baptismal fonts which help us, through their architecture, understand how early Christians thought about baptism. So the first one on top is a Roman cemetery, and there's a mausoleum for relics. You can see that this is a Roman burial chamber. And this is what everyone would architecturally know is a cemetery, it's a mausoleum. This is where the family would put all of their relatives, past and soon to be present. Go down to the next picture. This is a Christian baptistry. It's shaped the same. And here's the message as you're entering into this baptistry. You are going here to die. We're just burying a deceased person here. Sin has already killed you. You're already dead. You are just enacting your own death that has already happened through sin. And here you will rise to a new identity of being in Christ and in his body of other people. What I don't want to do is get into a debate about sprinkling versus dunking here, except to point out that sprinkling has a harder time communicating this theology of death that is involved in baptism. So I really applaud this creative Lutheran pastor at the bottom of the page who decided to get the message through to his congregation. They sprinkled infants, but he wanted them to know that baptism is all about dying. Here he stands at the font with his giant water gun. Okay, once inside this mausoleum, turn your page over, the architecture shouted to you, new life. You go into the house of the dead and suddenly the baptismal font is an octagon. And this for the early church said, you're about to enter into the eighth day of the new creation. If creation happened in 7 days and Jesus rose on the eighth day, then God has inaugurated a new creation in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. So, every possible symbol here is shouting to us, you are here to die, but your death is your doorway to the new creation. You are about to live a new existence. You don't have to fear death. You've stepped into the eighth day of the new creation, and you can practice resurrection daily. I just want you to notice that this font, this octagon at the top, is the relics of the baptistry in Milan where Augustine was baptized in the 4th century by Ambrose. So into this very loud, dying and rising theme, this is where Augustine found new life. Okay, the middle font on this page has equally strong imagery. And this is from North Africa. These are very typical of North Africa. The font is in the shape of a womb. You must be born again, said Jesus. And how direct is this imagery of female anatomy? And just in case you think this is a little bit odd, did you know that people were baptized completely naked? The early church was clear. You are dying with Christ. You are reversing the shame of Adam and Eve in the garden. You are being born anew into the eighth day of creation. So what does all this have to do with Lent? Why am I talking about baptismal fonts? And by the way, this one on the bottom, I just love because you see how for many of them, you walk down into a cross. You are immersed in the center of the cross and you walk back out of the other side of the cross. I mean, there's clearly a message here that is being absorbed by your body as you're being baptized. After the persecutions were over, Christians and Christianity became an empire religion, Christianity faced a different kind of crisis. What was once dangerous to be a Christian suddenly became fashionable. What once could get you killed now got you a tax break. And to be honest, maybe this is not too far from the crisis that we ourselves are facing. What do we do when Christianity is government endorsed? Doesn't require too much of us, makes us complacent, perhaps inward focused. Do we read more books? Do we look for the next radical thing to do? Do we make bigger sacrifices? This is a crisis for us on both a national and a personal level. When things are good, when Christianity is an empire religion, perhaps our need for God is even more. Perhaps it's even more extreme now than when it was under the persecutions, though less felt. Because of this new confusion and contradiction within Christianity, some in the early church fled to the desert to join Jesus quite literally there. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. But the early church, some people went to the desert because it was only 60 miles away. But others in the early church came up with another solution, which might be helpful for us today if we don't want to move into the desert. These Christians remembered their 3 years of getting ready for baptism. They remembered the 40 days of fasting right up until Easter Eve, the night of their baptism. They remembered all the intensity. They remembered the devotion, the sacrifice. They remembered this all with deep fondness and even nostalgia. And so they said, let's go back to our origins. Let's do our 40 days of baptismal preparations all over again. They wanted to look forward to Easter with the newness like they once had, with joy, with gratitude, with tremendous anticipation. They didn't want their faith to become routine and old. This is how Lent originated. So Lent is for all of us. It's for all of us who have caught ourselves maybe wanting to feel again what we felt when we first had those early longings and stirrings towards Christ. Maybe at a Christian camp, maybe in youth group. The early church knew that. Lent is for those of us who also maybe have been longing for that discipline that came naturally in our early relationship with Christ. The early church knew that too. And Lent is for those of us who might want to get baptized to start over again and make a clean break. The early church knew that too. Lent, despite a lot of the cultural associations we have with it, is not about renunciation. It is about remembering our baptism. As the early church continued to baptize new converts, they compressed these 3 years into 40 days to accommodate the huge amount of converts now streaming into the church. And Christians who had already been baptized in secret began to walk alongside these new converts every year for the 40 days of baptismal preparations. They reminded themselves annually of what it was like to prepare, what it was like to be disciplined, what it was like to live with this fervor, reminding themselves of what the new life in Christ was all about. They wanted to receive the new life of Easter again. So Lent in its origins did not begin out of a desire to self-punish or focus on sinfulness. It's even more black and white than that. Lent is about death. But the crazy Christian message is that only through death do we actually taste life. Lent is when the whole church remembers its origins, origins that began with our death in baptism and Jesus' baptism, when he heard the words that we can hardly believe, "You are my beloved." Only when that message has settled into our depths can we, like Jesus, go into the desert of Lent for 40 days. Jesus was able to endure tremendous temptation in the desert, not because he was divine, but because he had heard the words that he was loved. His baptism prepared him for the desert of temptation. And in fact, after he was baptized, it says the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Baptism was his armor against temptation, not divine self-mastery. He knew he was the Father's Son, and he had not even done anything yet. He had nothing to show for himself except the Father's love. This, and only this, should hold our attention when we journey into our own wilderness of Lent. Many of us, perhaps in our Christian traditions, have been taught to dwell on our flaws before we dwell on God's love. We think we need to focus on sin and then enter grace. But this gets the gospel totally backwards. This Lent reversed that trend. Follow Jesus, who first heard God's word, beloved, before he headed into the desert of temptation to face his demons. And then, in the strength of that love, enter into your Lent. You don't need something more radical. You don't need something more punitive. You need to clear the ground so that you can hear God's word to you of beloved. And yes, then you might need to sort through some things that are disordered in your life. You might need to let go of some things that are not allowing you to fully rest in God's love. Funnily enough, I've heard people say, well, Lent isn't in the Bible, or it's just a man-made routine. But Lent originated out of the early Christians' desire to not have their faith be routine. It was an annual routine to keep them from the routine. Of course, it has been abused. What in our Christian life has not? But that fact should not keep us from the good parenting techniques that the early church has to offer. So, Lent began 3 weeks ago with Ash Wednesday, when traditionally in the ancient church, everyone came to be marked by Jesus's cruciform way and declare that we are beloved dust. Lent is about your baptismal identity, leaving behind anything that is making you sluggish. At Lent, we get to walk into our true identity, to be plunged into Christ, to remember our baptism corporately. Lent is not an endurance stunt. It is reclaiming that we are loved long before we enter into the wilderness. My family, I'm from Washington State. To get here, I had to drive through a blizzard, and then the pass that I crossed actually closed down a few hours, so I find it really, I'm grateful to be here. And we, our family is a little bit weird because we live in this extremely snowy area, and we remember our baptism every year on New Year's Day, when the weather conditions aren't exactly promising. My parents live on a river, it's called the Icicle River, and it really lives up to its namesake. And so we tromp through the snow, we have to break the ice, sample the water, and we actually feel like we are about to die, which is exactly what Lent is all about, and remembering our baptism is all about. And then we strip down to our bathing suits. If you have water shoes on, it's a lot better because the ice can hurt. And then we go in screaming and shouting, "Remember your baptism!" And I want you to know that all 25 to 30 of us are at different stages in life, different political parties, some are not even sure of their faith, but we can remember our baptism together as a marker of who we are in Christ. In our small church that my husband is the priest of in Washington State during Lent, we don't have a font, as many traditional churches have a font at the beginning, at the doorway to enter the church. And that font is there to remind you, you only get into this community, you only get into these doors through your baptism. And the font is at the west side of the church because our journey is always from the west to the east. We think our journey is from sunrise to sunset, but our journey is from sunset to sunrise. It's from death to life. And so we have this little font. It's a ceramic bowl that has been broken twice. We keep this potter in business who makes these bowls for us. But we have it there, and we ask everyone when they come into church, stick your hand in the water, remember your baptism. And we found that every time that font would slowly move to the left, and it would slowly be kind of tucked out of the way by the end of the service, and we couldn't figure out who's moving the font. And finally, we found one very kindly elderly woman who had been moving it to get it out of the way. And we said, "Isabel, what are you doing?" And she said, "It's in the way." And my husband's response was, "It's not in the way, it is the way. This is how we get into the church. This is how we get into this community, through our baptisms. And we renew it every year by remembering our baptisms." So, Lent won't save us. Christ saves us. And leave Lent behind if it tempts you to some kind of individual holiness stunt. That's not the purpose. But if Lent can invite you to once again listen to the primal words spoken to you at your baptism and to shut out the other voices that are competing with that, then it will accomplish its purpose. The only armor Jesus took with him into the wilderness was his baptism. And in the wilderness, this word to Jesus was tempted. It was tested. And Jesus fought back with that one word. He said to Satan, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by the one word he's heard from the mouth of God." That word had just been spoken to him at his baptism, "Beloved." So, stop trying to turn stones into bread for yourself. Listen to the word spoken to you at your baptism and enter into the joy of Lent. Thank you.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.